Candy.
Brian Candy.
Wow, episode 799.
Feeling fine.
We tried to get Lincoln's lacrosse number to be 99 because...
Oh my God, obviously.
But he had to be 98.
Oh, that's fine. There's a 98 too. He should have been like 97 because those other two were taken.
Yeah, right. And then we had to refresh his memory the other day because he had 99, his favorite sheep, and then 98, and then... There was a 100 that we called One Hun, and he forgot about him. So
One Hun.
We were like, remember One Hun? And he was like, oh, yeah.
Stuffed animals are the best. I mean, he still has 99, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. And I just love that both Lincoln and I have sheep as our stuffies.
It's so special.
And I get that baby out every now and again. It went with me to the hospital.
Yeah. Soothing.
And I was fine with that.
Did you feel judged?
Only by myself.
Yeah.
And only when, like, and I sleep with as you know, Suze, I'm very particular about certain fabrics and sensations on me. And so I have to sleep with a very certain, like, specific blanket or, like, in my little sleep sack. And so anytime I need my blanket, I'm like, oh, can you hand me my blanket? And he, like, goes, you mean your blankie? I'm like, don't call it my blankie.
Is it not? Like, do you want it to be formal? You want it to be a blanket?
Well, I'm not a child.
Yeah, come on. So rude.
Yeah, I'm always going to hold on to that thing. And it feels so special. And then I'm like, what if something happened to it? Like,
yeah, don't even say that.
I know.
We have agreed over here that that's our prized possession. If there were an incident, you got to take that.
That is a really good thing to like.
All that matters.
It's all that matters. I had a Winnie the Pooh that when I was little that, you know, when I would go on trips with my family, I would have this passport that I made for Winnie the Pooh too. And so when we would go to like the customs office, I would make the customs agent stamp Winnie the Pooh's passport. And I'm so bummed that I don't have that little guy.
Yeah, that's
still
a treasure.
That was a little treasure.
Do you think it's lost forever?
I know Winnie the Pooh is gone forever, but I do have some of his friends still in
the
box. Why
did Pooh go away?
I don't know. I must have lost. I lost him. It just R.I.P.
R.I.P. Gone, but not forgotten.
Gone, but not forgotten. What was your favorite childhood thing?
Yeah, what the heck? I feel like I didn't
Is this what happens when you're the youngest child? You're just like,
yeah, probably.
Here's this rag to suck on.
Right. We get ripped off. What the heck?
Yeah.
Man, I got nothing. We were so poor. I was just like, give me some bread.
Give me some.
No.
Well, I feel like a lot of the candy and brainy stuff I want to talk about is kid related in a way, and I'm going to kick it off with the article that I really want to talk about, because what ends up happening is I like want to always give little teaser, like, oh, here's this little appetizer things, and then we talk about that for forever. I never get to the thing I really want to talk about.
Right.
So I read an article in The Atlantic called... Oh, it had a really clever name. Don't Tell America the Babysitter's Dead.
Yeah.
By our friend Faith Hill, not the singer.
Our friend. Yes. Right.
She's
love that lasts
friend,
a lifetime. Singer.
Yeah, the love that lasts a lifetime. Faith Hill. But the article is all about how we're really seeing the death of the American babysitter.
Hmm.
And how that is really something of the past.
Why?
Well, there are a whole bunch of reasons, but she also talked about, I loved about the history of babysitting. I mean, were you a babysitter?
No, I wasn't responsible enough.
Oh,
my God. My mom told me that.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Your mom ran a daycare and she said, you're not responsible enough.
She was not wrong.
Really?
Yeah, I was a little too silly for all that serious business. I mean, that is a big job. You got to keep people alive.
You do have to keep people alive. It is a bit of responsibility. But for a long time, it was one that was really common for young teenagers to have. I mean, I can remember You know, it's funny. I record the podcast. I rent the studio, the basement studio, from a friend of mine, my friend Ashley, and she was the babysitter for my little brothers.
Hmm.
And my mom also deemed me not responsible enough to babysit my own brothers. However, I could babysit other people's children. But
what?
She believed that they wouldn't listen to me.
Hmm. Which, was she right? I mean,
she was right. And so they would listen to somebody else. So she brought my friend Ashley in, and Ashley was the muscle.
Wow.
And she was the babysitter. And we were like 13 years old. So at 13, we were watching
my
kids.
Sister started when she was 10 or 11.
Yeah. And it was like normal, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, how do you explain that? Were we just lackadaisical back then, or were the children more responsible?
A little bit of both. Mm. So everything kind of happened in, you know, we have like moms going into the workforce.
Yeah.
In like 60s, 70s, more of an emphasis on leisure time and free time. There was also more of a drive to like consumer products were geared more towards younger, like teenagers. So there was a need for like pocket change and like the malls, like that was like the thing. People, teenagers wanted to go to concerts.
Spending money.
They needed spending money.
Okay.
So there was like an incentive and reason to say
go
yes.
Go into business, yeah.
Right? And there was more of like, I feel like always a neighborhood kind of community where you knew the people in your neighborhood and it would be like hire the person down the street.
Yeah, totally.
To babysit.
I would think that's still a thing though.
You would think it's a thing, but we saw, so it was interesting. The article talked about how the image of the babysitter has changed and how you and I were teenagers and like young older kids in like the babysitting heyday, that in the 70s, the babysitter image was kind of like of the seductress. She's going to steal your husband kind of thing. You better watch out. Then in the 80s, it became more of like the victim in the horror film. It was like the babysitter is the one in the slasher film getting killed.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then in the 90s, and kind of like actually late 80s.
And it's just porn fantasy.
The opposite, the Babysitter's Club came out.
Yeah.
And it made babysitting like this trend. They called it the super sitter trend.
Like there was just too many.
Yeah, it was this, super sitter trend that portrayed fun, well-behaved, competent girls and role models for kids, and in a way comforted nervous parents about the feeling of letting their kids be at home with a babysitter. Mm-hmm. And because of the Babysitter's Club and books and that kind of super sitter trend that came out, there were so many freaking movies and TV shows and books mm-hmm. about like babysitters.
Yeah.
And
it was like a whole industry.
And then what happened is things kind of went in the other direction when kids' extracurricular activities became something that parents started putting a lot of emphasis on, school putting a lot of emphasis on. So two things happened. We have what they call this delayed adolescence, which is kind of what maybe you were talking about, how, you know, your mom felt like you're not old enough to watch the kids.
Yeah.
And how like 13-year-olds aren't really old enough now. And even some teenagers seem too immature to be in that position and wouldn't know how to maybe manage or handle.
Yeah. That. Well, are they implying that it's in part because of helicopter parenting, so we're not letting our children be independent until later so that they can't even care for themselves, let alone...
Totally.
Oh.
They called it an intensive parenting approach that is more than just physical safety. It's also about ensuring the kids' future financial security by using every spare moment to enrich them with skills.
Yeah.
And so the article talks about how, you know, families don't want to waste time or waste money with their kid in front of a television.
Mm-hmm.
They'd rather spend a little bit more and put the kid in, I don't know, piano or some after-school sport. And if kids aren't spending time in scheduled activities led by adults, they really don't need a babysitter.
Are they saying that if the parents go on a date night It's just like the grandparents or something. Who's watching these children? I always want to know this.
They didn't really talk about that. That a lot of now that there are companies and there are these like services that provide that. And even, you know, that wasn't really mentioned a lot of like, what do we do now? And what do people use for like date nights and things like that?
Because I don't know.
But what I was thinking is that so many places and even like there's been, I felt like this push societally to include your kid in a lot of things.
Oh, for sure. I know we do that, but I thought that was just because we do not have an option for.
I think a lot of people feel that they don't have an option. And so they include their kid.
Right. We're a trio over here and like often not by choice.
Yeah. The article didn't talk about that.
Well, because I freaking wonder this a lot because it feels like every other Monday they have off school.
Yeah.
And then there's like weeks for spring break and weeks for the holidays. And then of course there's summer. And I'm like, what do people do that have normal jobs? Because I'm in a great position where we work from home. So, I mean, we're here at least. It's still a huge burden because we have work to do.
Right.
But I think, what do people do? And I do not know the answer.
I don't know either. The end of the article ends like this. Families still need help caring for their kids. Teens still need money and a chance to practice responsibility. And neighbors could stand to trust one another more to start building their village. It won't look like it did in the 1950s, but that's for the best. Perhaps we'll find a way to finally treat adolescents as just as they are, not as children, not as adults, not scary, not superhuman, just young people who with a bit of support can be capable of a great deal. That's it. That's the end of it. No, like, this is what parents are doing. It's just saying maybe we need to trust teens a little bit more. And maybe the reason why they're not as responsible is because they don't have that responsibility to begin with.
I don't even know what the risk is really, because everyone has freaking cameras in their house and stuff.
Right.
Like, they're not going to be throwing keggers or whatever.
And the article did mention that the problem is also with the availability of the teens to babysit, and that the teens are caught up in their own activities, SAT prep, and all this stuff that is required of them. So they're not
solid.
They're not available to do that.
Wow.
Yeah, the article even said that the teen employment rates were really low.
What are these slackers doing? They're just doing their bassoon lessons or whatever?
That's surprising to me. And like significantly lower than it had been.
But it must be what you're saying. These activities just monopolize their time.
Yeah.
I got news for you people. You're not going to be professional athletes.
I think it's the pressure from the colleges of like, and the, you know, you have to have all these extracurriculars in order to get in.
Those traveling sports families.
And that.
What an investment those people make.
Yeah, really.
I mean, I don't know what the payoff is. Maybe they like the community or something, or they just freaking can't get enough of softball. But I cannot relate.
Yeah.
I really am like, really?
Yeah, but like think about if I had a kid and our kids were the same age.
Me and you.
Yes.
Okay, that sounds great.
They get to play in a lacrosse league together.
Now we're talking.
This is what parents do. What do you think they do?
I don't know, though. I think that they make friends once they're in the league.
I maybe a little bit of both.
Yeah. But, I mean, if they love it, good for them. I just can't relate to it.
I think that all the parents are like, next season, vacation together. Like, they're like
my
their
gosh,
little
they
communities.
Love it.
I don't know.
Okay, maybe it's us. We need
to
branch out.
Because we have to imagine, like, if we had kids the same age and there were the opportunities for us to go on weekend trips to wherever.
Yeah, that sounds real fun.
I mean, sign me up. A little bit of, I got to, like, look up at my kid every now and then. Oh, good job. Woo, yeah, go.
The point remains.
I almost said go Johnny, which would be hilarious if I named my child Johnny. Right. What if Johnny Amadeus Rice? Yeah.
Johnny Amadeus Rice. That's hilarious.
Oh, God.
Well, the point remains, though, that there is a child care crisis in the United States.
Yes.
And freaking, it is a problem, especially for high-risk communities, people that don't have a lot of money. And I do not know how they're doing it. But
I don't either.
I'll tell you what we are doing, and that is our hair with Lola V, because it is freaking great. Look at Sarah over there.
I can't control much, but I can control this hair.
It looks so good.
I was just having dinner with two of my girlfriends, and they were like, tell me the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. I love when people do this.
And I
to
was
me.
Like, ladies.
Ladies.
I tell me do not truth. Know what magic is in this, but let me tell you. Doesn't matter, curly hair, straight hair. Curly hair, sometimes it's like, okay, you straight hair gals, it's easy to have nice products.
True.
But when you can make curly hair soft, manageable, balance the protein and moisture, prevent breakage, give me some nice lightweight, you know, hair drops, that nice oil to give me some.
You're like, never turning back.
I'm as happy as can be. And beautiful packaging. Hello.
I know, it looks really
chic. I
want to
take a picture of it every time I use it. I'm talking too much. Tell the people about this stuff.
No, the leave-in conditioner is the best I've ever tried. It's really nice stuff. Award-winning hair care line from Unihoo. Jen Aniston. The best. It just is really high-quality stuff. Unlock Jennifer Aniston approved hair at lolav.com. As our loyal listeners, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BRAINCANDY at checkout. That's 15% off your order at lolave.com with promo code BRAINCANDY. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Yes.
You'll thank us.
Yes. Yeah. You'll love it. So that's my little story about babysitting.
That's interesting. I need a babysitter. If you're in the Pittsburgh area. And you
Lincoln
would like
is
to deal
easy to babysit. You just like play games.
Yeah, he's real fun.
I would be the best babysitter for Lincoln.
I know.
I wish I were in the Pittsburgh area.
What have you done for me lately?
I know. God, I'm so sorry. I should just come over and be like, I've offered. Like, I'll come over. You take a whole week off with go on a vacation with
Wouldn't
your
that
hubby,
be fun?
And then you just have to like leave me with Link. And you're like, he'd never go for it.
Just as an aside, you know what also I feel like is no more is sleepovers in general.
100%. I would never allow it.
Heck no.
Heck
I mean,
fucking no.
I'd have to really know the parents.
Really
even
know.
Then, I don't see the point.
Right.
Because you can what do they call them now? They have these things called like play lates, where it's like you pick your kid up at midnight or something instead of a sleepover.
Yeah, yeah, because it's like the 2 a.m. to 6, 4 a.m.
Nothing good is going
nothing
on.
Nothing good. Nothing. I just don't want to put any, I'd want to
But didn't you have fun
risk.
At your sleepovers?
The most fun ever.
Right, so like, what are we doing?
I know, but also not good things have happened there.
It's both.
It really is both. I don't know the answer, but the answer is just like,
Compromise. Playlates.
Yeah, playlates. I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, if that didn't make you terrified, I have a little bit. This is an older story, but it resurfaced, which is, I'm not meaning to make a joke, but you'll see why. In 2013 in Florida, a man was straight up swallowed by the earth, asleep in his bed, by a sinkhole.
This is my worst fear.
I know. This is now my first fear. And can you remind me of the story of your story with the sinkhole?
Gladly.
Yeah.
Yes. Right after I moved to LA, I saw in the news that a sinkhole opened up basically in my parking spot at my tanning salon in Pittsburgh.
In your parking spot. You know how we always have like those places that we park? Oh my God. Well, Susie, this could be you. Could you imagine?
I almost feel like I caused it. I was there so much at the time. I eroded the foundation with my car. But like, for real, it can happen anywhere.
It's terrifying. And his
Is
two
he dead?
Brothers.
He's gone
gone. And as it was happening, his brother heard a crash
Shut
and heard some
up.
Screams. So his brother runs into the room and
this
jumped into the hole to try to because he could hear him, to try to, like, save him.
What?
And then a rescuer, like, lifts him out and is like, you can't go in there. And the more you would step on it, the more it would cave in. And they warned, they considered it too dangerous to even have any further rescue attempts after 24 hours, and he was long gone. So he not only was swallowed up by the earth, but all of his living, all the bedroom furniture was gone as well. And it just kept on like quicksand, like sinking in. Uh-huh.
So you're not describing just sort of like a bottomless pit of him flailing down this hole. It was more like
a sinkhole, like as almost it was like sinking.
Sand, you know, when people get buried in sand.
Yes. But and it created this huge
hole
that like went down so deep.
Did they say what was the reason?
No, mysterious sinkhole. Then they fill it in with gravel. And then a few years later,
again. You are lying.
I'm not lying.
And this brother still lived there?
No, they condemned the house. Nobody's living there. But they filled it in with gravel and it still like sucked the hole up.
Okay. Yep. So
it said that Florida, rich in limestone, is especially susceptible to sinkholes.
Well, that's the thing. We can't really do a lot.
Right.
It's not negligence or something.
Oh!
It's just sometimes the earth is...
Yep. There are regions where the type of rock below the land surface can naturally be dissolved by groundwater circulating through them. Soluble rocks include salt beds and domes, gypsum, limestone, and other carbonated rock. With the rock underneath dissolved away, underground caverns are left underneath the surface. When the weakened surface collapses into the cavern, it creates a sinkhole. And they vary in size from very small to this huge one seen in, I believe, a place in China that I won't even try to pronounce, that was around 537 meters wide and 662 meters deep.
That is horrifying.
Oh my God. Like at any moment.
Well,
that's nightmare fuel.
And it's obvious that the consequences of climate change are going to make this more frequent. If extreme rain and things like that, you know, erode the...
And us building on top of land that is probably not meant for huge, gigantic structures and buildings. You know,
I feel like they should check on this.
Wasn't there a song about that? Somebody built his house upon the sand and then a Bible.
Yeah, this is biblical, people.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Build your house on the rock, man.
Yeah. Who are those two guys? Wise man.
Who were those two
guys? And poor man.
And the dum-dum.
Yeah, the dum-dum.
The wise man and the dum-dum. But, okay, so is there anything we can do to check?
No.
Like, let's say you're buying
not live in a place like where you have limestone and salt.
Like, I think this is very common.
I do too. I feel like it's basically all the beautiful places to live. If you have beautiful beach line that you're looking at, beautiful
views. Really?
I don't fucking know. But I feel like everybody in California is like one big wave away from getting like.
Did you read about that? I forget where it even was, but this town had. There's a bunch of rich people that live like right on the sea,
uh-huh.
And they were real worried about the water coming and ruining their property. So they all like spent half, let's see, I think it was $500,000. And then 2 days later, it was all washed away. Oh. They used like the $500,000 to build like a sand wall.
Oh, God. And so, nature's like, I see your sand wall and I raise you. This way.
For real. It's like you say. It's like we know what sand does.
Right.
I feel like at least get some bricks going.
Have you seen Taylor Swift's house in, I believe it's in Rhode Island?
No.
She has, I think it's, I just looked this up, $17 million, I believe it is, this huge estate. Can't even call it a house.
Wow.
And it's right on the coast. And from what I hear, it was... beach property that, or like, you know, all beach front is public property. So it was like property that you could walk along.
Right.
And then it was filled in with like boulders. So now it cannot be walked along. Like you can't cross.
Something.
Right. How do you feel about that?
That's how the people in Malibu are. You know how there's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Uh-huh.
I really don't. And
right.
Yeah, I mean, I understand. Yes, this is like.
I do not. Them's the breaks. That's the price you pay for being a billionaire. Sorry.
So, yeah, okay, you're not mad at it. You're like, this is what I get. I get to dump my boulders wherever I want. It's my beach.
No, it's I feel the opposite. Like, you cannot have it all. I agree. The billion dollars and fame and all that. But
go take your little boat to another island where you could be by yourself. You don't get to like claim the beach.
Yeah.
I'm also equally as mad at the hotels in a lot of the hotels in Mexico. When I went to Tulum, I was like, where's the public beach?
Right. You try to just get there. There's no access.
Yeah. And they're like, well, technically it's all public, but you have to get to it through one of these places.
That's
and then
how
they
Malibu
charge you a
is.
Fee. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You can all kiss my fucking ass with the fee to use the beach.
The walkway.
This is
right.
Nature. Like, no, what are you going to charge me for breathing the air while I'm here
too?
Yeah.
It's like the beach is free, but you have to pay to cross this bridge. $5 million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate it. I'm mad.
Anyways. Eat the rich.
Eat the rich. Yeah. Okay. That's what I'm mad at. That's nightmare fuel. This I had written down, but then I looked into it and I was like, oh, okay, whatever. I got real excited for a second. I read an article that said, Ohio has issued a warning to residents to prepare for the eclipse. And it said there might be issues with cell phones. And I'm like, oh my God, this is so exciting. Are there going to be solar flares? And they were like, no, it's just like not a very populated area and there might be a lot of people. So maybe rural. Stack up on snacks.
You thought you were going to have to prepare.
Yes. I was like, I love a doomsday prep. Let's fucking do this. Go bag. Here we go.
Nothing would make Sarah happier than if like internet was down.
Yeah.
Phones were.
Yeah.
No longer.
I would come alive. But I am really
like
far
that?
In some of my video games I'm playing. So I would have to abandon the
Somebody
the
wanted
progress.
To know. I think, I forget if it was in the Discord or what, the Brain Candy Discord. They were like, I really wish she would have said what games they are playing. I would love to know.
I'll tell you. I'm playing the best game. If you are looking for a game to play with a partner, this game is like couples therapy as well. It's called It Takes Two, and it's available on PlayStation, and it's about... And
this sounds
is how
like a Mary-Kate and Ashley movie.
I believe it was.
Oh.
And this is like the Faith Hill song again.
It Takes Two. Okay.
And you could tell that video game designers... The video game consumers like are older, and now they're not making video games for like young adult or young kids and young adults. They're making them for like actual grown people with families and relationships, all this stuff. So this is about a little girl whose parents are getting a divorce, and she wishes that her parents could get back together or something like that.
You're
and
telling
she,
me
like,
there's a plot?
Oh, that's how a lot of video games are, where they're like they're like plots that like stories that you work through. Like,
okay.
And then she turns her, cause you have to like go with the magic of, you know, video games here. Her parents turn into these little rag dolls, these little toys that she had made. And like her parents like embody these rag dolls, and they have to escape. And they go through all these little mazes, and it's like being in an escape room and playing an arcade all in one. And you work together, and it's like a collaborative thing. And then you're going through all these little checkpoints through this book that's guiding you. And he has a funny like accent, and he's called the Book of Love. And he talks like that.
You've
and
got
it's
to
very
be kidding
fun.
Me.
And it's like, it talks about the things that a good relationship needs, and you have to work together
what?
Through collaboration. And then each little challenge is, and it's, it sounds so cheesy, but it is 10 out of 10. It makes every single list of the best two-player game. I'm
Why?
Telling you. You just have to play it. It's so fun. And by the end of it, we were in the beginning like, go this way, go this way. You're not doing it right. And then by the end, we're like, oh my God, good job. Yay, we're doing it. It like worked.
Do you think there's a couple, like just two regular video game bros playing it? Or is it all?
Not this one.
This is all for like romantic partners?
This is definitely
for
romantic partners.
You're kidding me.
100% for that. Yeah.
Wow.
It would be weird to play
it
with. Yeah. And then we are also playing one called A Way Out, where we're two wrongfully convicted inmates who have to escape prison, and we're two guys, and then two bros could definitely be doing that together.
Stop it.
Yeah.
This is not real.
I'm Vincent. He's Leo.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe there's this whole subculture that I just
I didn't know about it either.
And you love it. You're like,
listen, when you are laid up for 6 weeks and you cannot do anything and you are so sick and tired of playing every single card game and there are only so many rounds of Rummy Cube that you can play and so many episodes of something you can watch, you need something to mix it up. And there are too many. Well, I tried to play Tony Hawk Pro Skater with Eli, but he sucks at that and I'm too good. So it was no fun when I kicked his ass, but I like quadrupled his score every round. Sorry.
Wow.
Not sorry.
He didn't. Yeah, that felt too.
Yeah, he's like, I hate this game. I don't like it.
Really? But he didn't say that it was because he was bad at it. He just
thought
it was his opinion.
He's like, this is terrible. This is embarrassing. I need a new game.
Wow. Mm-hmm. This is waking me up almost as good as my Hatch Restore.
Oh, love it.
Two amazing device. Okay, here's the thing. Mornings aren't easy.
Yeah.
Especially for ADHD people, I think.
Yeah, 100% definitely.
They don't thrive.
Right. Transitions are hard.
Yeah, transitions are hard. And so I used to have to fight with my family members just to get them to rise and shine.
Yeah.
And give God the glory. And so now I got the Hatch Restore too, and now my problems are solved because this device, it looks like a little sun. It's like a half circle that sits on our little thingy, our dresser. Mm-hmm. And then it slowly wakes them up with a light that mimics the sun. And then at the time that I tell it to, it plays a song. And you can pick the song or the sound or the bells or whatever you want it to be. It could be birds chirping, whatever you want. And they have go to bed sounds.
I love that.
And sleep sounds.
Brown noise.
Yeah.
Brown noise.
Yeah, and it's so good for your health, and it improves every part of the sleep experience and the wake experience. Right now, Hatch is offering our listeners $20 off your purchase of the Hatch Restore and free shipping at hatch.co/braincandy. Visit hatch.co/braincandy to get $20 off and free shipping. hatch.co/braincandy. A million things don't want you to sleep, but Hatch does, and so do I.
Yes. Okay. What other things do I want to talk about? Talked about the sinkhole. Yes. What are your feelings on animals being genetically modified for different scientific purposes and gain? And what is your take on genetically modified animals?
Well, I guess I'm fine with it because what's the difference between that and like breeding?
Yeah, but you're like introducing new DNA and alter DNA into the animal. I'm okay with it too. I was just kind of see.
I guess I don't know what it means really. Like, what would be an example?
So there have been a few different animals that have been modified genetically and consumed. There's only two that have been formally approved by the FDA. One is a salmon that has gene from another fish, and it's made to grow faster. But there have been a lot of consumer concerns, so there have been limited sales of this fish.
What are the concerns?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it might be fear stuff. It might be like you, just, like, I just don't know about this, and not like you're fearful of it, but
yeah, like they
stating
have
like,
just...
I don't know. And so you pick the other one. Maybe there's, and I think that there's a law that says you have to label genetically modified.
Yeah. And if you saw that on the label, you'd be like, what's that?
What's that? And the second item, I don't even know what you call it, animal that has been approved is this thing called the GalSafe pig. And it's pig that's had its DNA inserted into a cripple gene for a sugar molecule on the surface of its cells. So that just means like they've engineered this to create a different kind of sugar molecule in the cell. And it's because some people have a severe reaction to this sugar molecule when they eat pork. But also, we use a lot of pork byproducts, I guess, in the manufacturing of a lot of medical products. So if you have this sensitivity to those sugars, you may also have a sensitivity to a lot of these medical things.
What does that have to do with a pig, though?
The pig is the animal that, like, experimental xenotransplants of organs, like, they grow tissue. Like, pigs are used often, and, you know, they have, like, right, stents for hearts. They're often, like, the animal that's used for a lot of,
yeah,
like, medical research.
Yeah, I know. I think that my mom's heart valve is,
yeah,
that.
And it's a, like, biotechnology product, they say, for both food and a potential source for biomedical use that, like, helps create all of these new, it helps for people who are maybe, like, would normally reject one of those transplants.
Mm-hmm.
Is
go
this
for it, I guess.
Yeah. I'm kind of in the go for it category, but it's so, this is where I think sometimes I feel like I sound like a hypocrite.
Why?
Because in our last episode, I believe we were talking a lot about, like, the AI taking over stuff and how it's like, I don't want this, like, slow down. Let's have some ethical concerns and guidelines up,
yeah,
and blah, blah, blah. And I suppose that's what we have the FDA for. They, like, determine whether it's safe or not.
Well, ideally, we're talking about saving lives versus AI is just making money. It feels like, anyway.
Yeah.
Like, I don't hear any lives being saved from ChatGPT.
I bet somebody could argue that.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying I don't know about it.
Right, right.
And so in this case, we're talking about the primary usage is to improve human life. I guess I'm...
Yeah.
But I know that animal testing and animal anything is
it's a
tricky
sensitive topic. Yeah.
Yeah. There's it's you're an basically ethical, like, quagmire.
Mm-hmm. And then I read another one. Oh, I don't know where this article went, but I read another article that talked about cows. Oh, here it is. That scientists in Brazil have engineered a cow to produce human insulin in its milk.
Great.
I know. I say great to that.
Okay.
That seems like very promising.
But some people are like, hey, watch it. So
I mean, not me people.
No, no, just like
right,
the critics of this, yeah, would say, don't monkey around. You're not God.
Yes.
Yeah.
That this thing, these things also have, because that's, it's like in some categories when we go and we manipulate these things, I'm like, don't do that. Like, I got really worried about, we talked about this, the mosquitoes, they, like, captured all the mosquitoes. I don't know how the fuck they did this. They made all the mosquitoes have something that would make it so they couldn't reproduce, but it only lasted like 2 generations.
Yeah.
And I
I'm
feel
all for
like
that
then they, like,
forever.
Maybe there was a surplus of them after that or something.
How could that be?
I don't know.
Are they, like, wanting to make up for it?
Yeah, I feel like we, like, it's like you hit down, like, the mole game, you know? You knock one down and something else is going to inevitably pop up somewhere else.
Yeah, that's true. I get it. And, yeah, you know, when you say, I feel like people think, or I am a hypocrite.
Yeah.
We all are.
Right.
That's what I'm learning more all the time, because even when people get mad about, like, stuff we say on the show, I'm like, yeah, yeah, okay, I see your point.
Yeah.
But, like, I guess, and when I joke that we're, like, too, when I was like, I think we're too open-minded, in a way I'm not joking, because if you can see the validity of various points of view, you kind of are too open-minded.
Right.
Because, like,
pick a lane,
okay,
Sarah. Right. Are you for it or are you against it? Because, like, sometimes I'm like, yeah, definitely do that. But I'm also anti the mass production of any animal for, like, food, because we need an alternative. I don't know what the answer is. It feels like,
yeah,
more,
and it's just like
genetically modified
animals.
I'm
thankful that there are people who know a lot more than I do about each of these fields,
yeah,
who can make responsible choices.
Yes.
And then we're just basing it off of, like, one article that is distilled down to, like, mm-hmm, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And so our opinions are just based on partial,
yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
You know, I had a funny moment the other day with my brother. So my brother, who's often the conspiracy theorist brother, well, he is the conspiracy theorist brother. And he was explaining how microwaves work.
Huh?
And yeah. I am not even going to attempt to explain it in the way that my engineering brother explained it. And he was talking about how, well, essentially he was saying like microwaves, like these are it's just like a different focus of like a light wave. And it's something that's like all around us and we're just like directing it. And it's like controlling that wave in a way. And nobody needs to be worried about microwave, like radiation from microwave. Yeah. And like, that's not going to affect you. I can absolutely remember him being the person who's like, don't stand in front of the microwave, because he was equipped with not enough information. He was like, that seems like it could be powerful.
Well, when we say that on the show all the time, we're always like, that seems bad. Yeah. We don't know why.
Right. It's like that. He was like, that seems. And what he means is like, well, the science behind focusing light rays or whatever to manipulate them is so insanely powerful and can do so much. You know, I don't know about it yet, but.
Yeah, I mean, it is a very human evolutionary trait to think if you don't have all the information to go with your gut, to just go with like, I smell a rat or this smells fishy or whatever.
Yeah.
Like you just sort of, because you're not an expert, you just have to guess.
Yeah.
So don't get mad at us. We're winging it over here.
Right. Trust the experts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's important.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is like a nice little segue on trusting the experts. Did you see that maybe within the last week or two, Merriam-Webster has come out and said, don't worry, guys, it's okay. You can end the sentence with a preposition.
No.
Oh, yeah. They said it is permissible in English for a preposition to be what you end a sentence with, the dictionary publisher said in a post shared on Instagram.
All right. What is, did they go into detail about like this rule versus its application?
Yes.
Okay.
So Merriam-Webster credits a 17th century poet, John Dearden, with popularizing the rule. And in 1672, he wrote, or he was criticized, he was chastised by his use of preposition in the end of a sentence, a common fault with him, it said in like the article. And so people latched on to that, and it had more to do with how language was learned and how we use Latin. It was like connected to how.
Yeah, like previous structures.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. And now if you were to use that previous, like very formal structure, a lot of our sentences wouldn't make sense. Mm-hmm. And so what's happened with this, I don't know, the whole like, I don't know about you, but I got that drilled into my head. My mom would say that all the time. And then I was like, I don't even know what a preposition is, which I think is what I just ended the sentence with.
No, you didn't. You didn't. No.
What is
it? It's like, not a preposition.
What's a preposition then?
Well, they always joke. I don't know if they're joking, but the way they remember that never made sense to me. They would say it's something you can do to a tree, like around.
Oh.
Into. With, around, about, but I don't know why the tree thing, that was never useful
about.
To me.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Which sounds much better than that's about what we are talking.
But don't you think that it's, for me, it's like spirit of the law versus yes. letter of the law. So in general, if you can avoid ending a sentence with a preposition, that's great.
Yeah.
But if it works better and is more coherent otherwise, then that's okay too.
Well, they said that this is, it's the sunk cost fallacy, sort of, that people have invested into finding a lot of ways and like workarounds.
In which?
Not end a sentence like that. And it's been drilled in our head so much that they're clinging tighter to like the idea that we shouldn't do that.
Yeah, the letter of the law.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. exactly it. I say right. who gives a fuck. I think Listen, we need to just let it ride.
I feel like I peaked when, remember when the dictionary followed me on Instagram?
Oh, Merriam-Webster.
I mean...
God. Merriam-Webster, if you guys are listening.
Just when I thought, yeah. I love that it's like two people. But then it got better because then the encyclopedia followed.
Stop it!
Mm-hmm.
Susie!
I'm pretty sure it's like one guy that runs both.
we love that person.
We love Webster.
Yeah, Webster.
I really did feel like, wow, I've arrived.
Susie, that is... That is,
thank you.
The ultimate.
I mean, thank like, you, Sarah.
Who I would not get that excited if like Kim Kardashian started following you.
Right, we're just chasing the Merriam-Webster.
Know your audience, man. That is so. What an honor.
Hey, maybe
and for
if you,
a podcast called Brain Candy Podcast,
I know
the encyclopedia.
We've arrived.
I mean, who's getting
we should?
Things wrong
I wish
now?
They would sponsor us.
Could you imagine if we just started
selling dictionaries? I would love that.
They may be banned in your school, but not in your home. Get yourself a dictionary. Use code BRAINCANDY.
Learning is fun. Demental.
Yeah, we have to say that.
We were born for this.
I mean, anyways.
Anyways.
Okay, we talked about that. I've been reading a lot about, I don't have a lot about this, but I do want to talk about it. Did I talk about the divide between Gen Z men and women?
No. Well, no, yeah. You haven't, but I've been reading about it.
Yeah, I have too. I've been reading about a lot about how we are seeing a lot of the polls that they are doing on like political polls and surveys of Gen Zers are finding that the women are far more invested and passionate about so many things that are happening politically.
Yeah.
And the men are like basically answering like that middle bubble of like does not apply.
Yeah. You know people, and there are probably a lot of people listening who would say this. I'm not political.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard someone
yes.
say that?
Yeah.
And it's in my experience, it's always someone benefiting from the status quo.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be political either probably as much if the way things were was pretty great. It's like Archie Bunker. I mean, he was sitting pretty back in the 60s. So
yeah.
I don't know. I that's always a red flag to me when someone says, oh, I'm not very political. I'm not into that.
And Gen Z men feel like they are doing worse than ever. And
I mean, I hate to enjoy that, but I mean, I guess technically that's true, but that's yeah. because they think, what do we always say?
Right.
To the privileged, equality mm-hmm. feels like oppression.
I just said that the other day. Yeah.
It's true.
It
and
really
I know
is true.
We've all experienced it. Like if you've had a real sweet deal and then things just sort of even out, it feels like you've been ripped off.
The good news with that I'm hoping is that feeling unmotivated or feeling like you'd like to just stick to the status quo or like I'm not political.
Like complacent.
Mm-hmm. Complacent. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's the fucking word I was looking for. Mm. If you're feeling complacent, you're not rushing to the voting booth, you know, not rushing to the polls.
Yeah. Okay.
You know? And, So I'm wondering how this election.
Well, they're skewing conservative.
Yeah, they do.
You've seen those charts, like where women have.
I'm gonna hold one up. I think I have one right here that I just was looking at earlier.
And Western women are becoming more and more.
Yeah, this
aggressive.
Is a Gallup poll. Look at that.
Yeah. And
that the men, yellow represents the women become young women becoming more liberal, like the percentage of them who say that they're liberal, and the bottom line is the young men,
which is pretty much the same. So the divide is increasing.
Oh my God, that is, and it makes sense that more women are becoming or identifying as liberal when you see their rights being taken away. Oh my God, this is terrifying. It's very interesting to me, and I really don't know what's going to happen. And
I don't envy people trying to partner up.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think there's I don't want to like, maybe I do want to encourage women out there to do this. Like, I've talked with a lot of my girlfriends on how we see, like, these are friends I've known for 20 years, maybe longer, more, 30 years, if not more. They are the most consistent, stable relationships I've had. If I'm going to be buying property with anybody, it's going to be these people.
Yeah.
Like, I want to follow in the footsteps of those women in China who got together and, like, there were, like, six of them who bought a house together and then just, like, hang out and, like, have barbecues and, like, twirl in the backyard, whatever else.
Yeah, so you're saying if you and your girlfriends are single.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're single, like, cohabitate, then you can, like, it's the best. That would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
All the
it
good.
Is a shame though that we've done a poor job of educating people to know that equality is better for everyone.
Yeah,
and that you aren't going to suffer. That everybody's life improves if everybody has value. But they see it as if this person gets more value, I get less. And that's, I mean, it's scary probably for them.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Maybe let's just tax the billionaires. Like, can we just make that at 50%? Give it all up.
You're like, you know what? I don't even care about equality. Let's just tax those motherfuckers.
Yeah. Other countries are like, oh, you're billionaires? Yeah, they get taxed at like 45%. United States is like, what? They don't even have to pay taxes.
That's why the Beatles song, isn't it called Tax Man or something?
Oh, yeah.
They were so mad because at that time, I think it was 90% or something crazy in England.
Oh, that makes sense. Of course.
If you were rich. I mean, it's still really high, but back then it was even more so. And they were just like, what the fuck?
Could you imagine if they did that here?
Yeah.
The amount of well, like, oh, I'm sick. I just think about Jeff Bezos and it just like keeps me up at night. These are the things like Jeff Bezos' super yacht is like my Roman Empire. I just think about that.
I was wondering, what do you think the Roman Empire's Roman Empire was?
Oh, this is a good question.
I was like, this is fun for brain candy when I thought of it in the tub the other
day.
I
would say, like, who really got under the Roman Empire's, like, skin?
Yeah.
Who
yeah.
did they
what
have
was,
beef with besides everyone?
I mean, they
everyone?
Were, like, pretty worked up about, like, weird, you know, astronomy stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say it had, it's probably, stuff. Like, yeah, probably, like, some gods. They
yeah,
were like
Thor. They were like, ugh, yeah. This guy.
It's like, yeah. I never can remember which ones are Greek and which ones
I know,
are,
me neither.
Well, like,
I only learned that they were different recently.
Oh, crossword puzzles will help
with that. It was all just sort
of
like mythology to me.
Oh, yeah. It's the same people, just different names.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Right?
But so that could have been, what else could it have been? I don't know. Weather, which is still mythology.
Yeah. I was going to say agriculture. Like they just think about, I don't know, something of like, or like. Maybe, but I feel like if I were back then and I had the things that they did not have, I would spend the majority of my time thinking about where I was going to go to the bathroom.
Oh my God. What if that's what it was?
I mean, wouldn't you before modern plumbing?
I still am.
Even with it, right?
You know?
Yeah.
Like when, anybody when I'm out, I'm always like, where's the bathroom?
Right.
Just, yeah.
Yeah.
I gotta know. Oh my gosh, that's so true, Sarah.
That's probably what I would be thinking about, like, actually.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, I have one more story for you that I saved from a while back that I had to get to because this, I was going to say in our defense of, you know, just like bring up pets again and how much we love them.
I have a story from my episode and I was like, I'm going to skip it because I was like, I'll do it eventually, but I need to pace myself.
Pace yourself with your...
What's yours?
So my... I'm making an argument.
Oh, God.
That horses are basically big dogs.
Oh, yeah. This is a great... People will love this. This will get 100%. Us back in their good
and graces. If you try to think about any quality of a dog that makes a dog,
yeah,
you can find a matching horse quality, like studies on horses that do the same thing. And it's actually impressive. Like horses and dogs are the only two animals that respond like they do to humans. They
really?
Exhibit similar physiological and behavioral responses to humans as they do to other horses. And it's all like mediated by the hormone oxytocin, which plays a role in social bonding. Like we see that when horses interact with humans and when dogs interact with humans, and you don't see that. Cats
do
are
they
like,
get oxytocin or just we do?
Both.
That's nice.
Yeah.
They seem a little bit crankier than dogs.
I think that's just because.
Because we just insist on riding them constantly.
And maybe like a person's. A person being unfamiliar with how to go about being around a horse.
You're like, it's
have you seen those people who are like really weird around dogs for whatever reason? They're like scared of dogs and then they freak out and then the dog acts weird.
Yeah.
I think that's what we see is it's more likely anytime I've been with a person and there have been horses around, there's always, or anytime I've been in the group and there's always one person in the group that is like, oh, this is a bit, this is scary. This is like,
yeah,
you know,
I saw something recently. It was one of these videos from somebody who's a vegetarian and they were saying that pigs are the same as dogs, same in every way, pretty much, which
I could see this argument.
I think it's probably true. And that really is a kick in the teeth because of how delicious they are. I mean, for real, like, I don't want to eat them, but...
I know. I feel the same about octopus.
Yeah,
I saw my
octopus
teacher,
too.
And I'm like, oh, fuck.
That is so true, Sarah.
I love you.
What are we going to do?
And then I'm like, I also love you. Crispy on
in
my
mouth.
Sorry.
Crispy. Well, so, do you think it's really fucked up? It kind of is. They were eating these intelligent beings.
But then again, where's the line?
That's what I want to know.
That's what I mean.
Sarah,
would you blame an alien civilization for coming down here if they looked so unlike us, we were so different than they were, would you blame them if they skewered a few of us and roasted us and were like, tasty?
Right.
I probably wouldn't be that. I would be like, yeah, I get it. I mean, it's fucked up, but. They would have to be much bigger than us. It would be kind of fucked up if something's like, actually, now that I say that.
Like cows, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
like a lot of things.
As soon as
those words came out of my mouth, I was like, it's really fucked up to eat something that's the same size as you.
Like you only eat like crickets all or something. The things that we
I did for a while. I went like pescatarian because I had this belief in my mind and this like, I don't know, helped me sleep at night. Or I was only going to consume an animal that produced a shit ton of offspring because it was almost like nature hinting at us like, you should probably eat this. You know, because like they make a ton.
And so, who qualifies?
Fish.
Yep.
Got to eat them. Chickens because they have all the eggs. I can eat the eggs.
Absolutely. They're not even fertilized.
Yum, yum. Right. No problem.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that, and that's kind of where, and then you think, oh, if something takes that long to grow, maybe we should like eat less of it.
Well, it's not even like I'm a big meat eater. I could take it or leave it, but like to decide no more of it.
No,
that's tough.
I've been really excited about some vegetarian dishes lately. So I can like take it or eat it, but to be like no more ever. Yeah.
Well, especially bacon.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a real problem. And they have not done anything to recreate that. I'll eat an Impossible Burger all day long.
And meat too. You cannot get the same fat, like the fat mixed in with it. No matter what I see on.
But they're so smart. They're like people.
Yeah.
Because we would never eat like a chimp.
Never.
But you're like, but what if it were delicious? But
that's what I'm saying. If you skewered us and we were delicious, I wouldn't be like mad at the other, like, a bear, like a grizzly bear. Maybe we taste so good.
Remember when it turned out that the reason that sharks don't eat us is because we're disgusting and taste like garbage?
Stop it. Is that for real?
Yeah. That animals in general think humans are disgusting.
I was wondering that. They always say they have to have a taste for human flesh. So maybe we taste really disgusting.
Animals think we smell like hot shit.
Well, you did say, I remember you talking about the watering hole when they smell, they don't like the smell of humans. That when they go, like they...
Which it, like, I'm words glad. Off. What a relief.
Yeah, that is a relief. But a hungry, I
and
don't
as,
know,
the, son, as the mother of an 11-year-old, I would have to agree.
Oh, yeah. Smell
Humans
disgusting.
Really stink.
Yeah. You know how if you eat an ant, and yes, you can eat ants, but if ants from different places taste different?
Yeah. The lemon
humans
ones?
From different places taste different. Just because of what we eat.
Yeah.
You know, when you have like cows that you feed,
I
bet they do too. So maybe that shark only had a really bad tasting human and he doesn't even know that over here on the West Coast, we taste delicious.
Wait, if you had to guess.
Oh, yeah. What I taste
I
like?
I bet you Japanese people taste the best.
Right,
with
umami.
All that delicious food and sushi and like that. I don't know why.
I hope this clip gets taken out of context. Just cut that. Edit that.
Hey, I'm just, that's a compliment.
Yeah.
I feel like Leon on Curb. That's a compliment.
Yeah. and I'm sorry, but British people would taste the worst.
Worst.
They don't flavor their food. There would be no seasoning.
Yeah. Just brown.
Bland. Bland. Bland.
We don't make the rules.
We don't
we
make
just made
the rules
them.
Around here. This is just what people taste like. I'm sorry. If you think otherwise, you got a better argument. Well, let's hear it.
I'm going to do the poll, and I saw on Discord somebody was like, they didn't do this one poll, and I think it was Casey was like, they don't do the polls they say they're going to do, and I was like, fuck,
I've got to
do the polls.
We sometimes do, when we remember.
So which humans would be tastiest?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You did a great job today with all these topics.
Oh, thanks.
I mean,
you know, I'm just trying to keep everybody informed. Just, you know, mixing up the brain, mixing up the candy.
Babysitting, sinkholes.
Right. That babysitting article is really good. If you have a subscription to The Atlantic, check that out. It's called the Don't Tell America the Babysitter's Dead by Faith Hill. I won't forget it. It's very interesting. And if you were a babysitter, you will enjoy reading it.
Yeah, the history of it and all that.
Yeah.
Babysitters
I can like
Club.
Think already of our listeners who would like this. Bridget, definitely. Mo, yes. I already know.
Yes, we get to know these people in our candy club. You should join because we have a great time.
Yes. If you listen to our show and you're like, oh, I have fun chatting with these guys, it kind of feels like we're friends. You could be friends with us.
Yeah.
We have a great group of friends that we meet with all the time.
Yeah, it is. It is a really nice group.
Yeah.
Any hoodles, thank you all for listening. Check out our website if you need any of the codes we mentioned because it helps us so much when you use them. And then all of our challenge content lives on patreon.com/braincandy. And we love you.
We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.